Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
But first this morning, the Israeli Energy Minister Israel Katz has said this morning that the siege of Gaza will not end until Israeli hostages are released. In a social media post, he wrote, "No electrical switch will be turned on, no water hydrant will be opened, and no fuel truck will enter until the Israeli abductees are returned home." And Israel stopped supplies to the Gaza Strip after those Hamas attacks on Saturday. With the very latest, I'm joined on the line from Israel by Belle True, Chief International Correspondent with the London Independent. Belle, thank you for joining us this morning. From what we see there from the Israeli Energy Minister and reports coming from Gaza, the humanitarian situation there is getting more desperate every day, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've been speaking to medics on the ground and also UN officials about the situation in Gaza, and they're saying basically it's a humanitarian catastrophe for the 2 million people who live there, half of which are children. So first of all, we've had the news that the only power plant has stopped. It's basically run out of fuel. That means everyone is relying on generators that are also running out of fuel. The ICRC, the International Committee of the Red Cross, has said that that has basically meant the hospitals are going to turn into graveyards. If a hospital doesn't have electricity, then the ICU units can't work. Then, you know, the natal clinics can't work. It's absolute catastrophe. On top of that, I was talking to Palestinian medics who are saying that the supplies are running low. They're having to improvise. They're using basically soap in place of proper antiseptics for burns patients. They're running out of anesthetic medicines. There's also concerns about food. In the Gaza food market, there's probably just a handful of weeks of food left, according to UN officials. They also don't know where the displaced are going to go. They've got hundreds of people who are displaced in the Gaza Strip who are taking shelter in their schools, which are over capacity and running out of supplies as well. It's every angle that you look at, there is a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And if this siege continues, that will get worse.
And the UN has been leading requests for a humanitarian corridor to open. What's happening on that front?
I spoke to a UN official yesterday who told me categorically that Gaza is sealed. And that was the quote, sealed. There is nothing going in.
Ah, we seem to have lost.
There is a border.
Sorry, Belle, we just lost your line momentarily, but we can hear you again. So do carry on.
Yeah. I was saying basically that I spoke to a UN official yesterday who told me that Gaza is sealed. That was the word they used. Nothing is going in and nothing is coming out. And they desperately need humanitarian aid. The ICRC specifically requested fuel. But at the moment, negotiations haven't actually come to anything. Israel has made it very clear that nothing's going to come into their borders. There are two borders into Egypt, the Rafah border for people and also another goods border. Both of those remain closed at the moment, as far as I'm aware. I know that Rafah has been hit by Israeli strikes, and I know that the Egyptians were originally trying to discuss a no-fire zone there. But for the moment, there are discussions. Egypt's involved, the US has been involved, but nothing has been formalised. And so what we're talking about is 2 million people, over 2 million people, stuck in a tiny environment where they're running out of food, fuel, water, and, you know, electricity. And so they're trying, and they're under heavy bombardment. So, you know, it is a catastrophe.
So then where you are in Israel, and earlier on in the week, we heard that the streets of Tel Aviv were quiet, you know, eerily quiet. Are people moving around again, or what does it feel like there?
It still feels pretty eerily quiet. We've had intermittent rocket fire in Tel Aviv. People obviously taking this incredibly seriously. This is not like any other escalation that's happened before. I was down in the south where the rocket fire continues. An Israeli military official told me today that there were 5,000 rockets that have been fired at least since Saturday into Israeli territory. In the south, people are basically inside their homes, inside their bomb shelters, within their homes. And they are upset because a lot of these places were infiltrated by Hamas militants on Saturday. People, they watched their friends be killed or their loved ones are missing. And their biggest question is, how was this allowed to happen? How did this breach occur? Where was the intelligence?
Mm-hmm. Well, we heard here last night that the missing Irish-Israeli woman, Kim Damty, was confirmed dead, and her family have spoken out about their dreadful loss in light of that news. But she was amongst the 260 people believed to have been killed at that music festival near Gaza on Saturday. Now, those families, some of them have been speaking to you, Belle, haven't they?
Yes, I spoke to survivors of that music festival and also family members of those who are missing. Some of those family members thought that their loved ones might have been taken to Gaza. Some of them were. Some of them, unfortunately, in the last few days have been confirmed to have been killed as bodies are being recovered from the desert areas around the location of the festival. From what I was told, they were basically still partying at around 6:30 in the morning when the rocket fire started. A lot of them assumed it was just another escalation and they wanted to stick together. They didn't have access to transport because some people came in shared cars, taxis and buses. So that caused a problem. Basically, the survivors are the people who left almost immediately. Those who stayed around to stick together were confronted by Hamas militants who arrived with heavy weaponry. The descriptions of people, you know, hiding in ditches, hiding in bushes. There's even testimony of one woman who was hiding under bodies, dead bodies, to try and survive. And of course, we saw the video footage of people running through the fields for their lives. So, you know, it's very, very harrowing details coming from that particular event that, you know, was targeted.
Belle, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for joining us. That's Belle True, and we'll be returning to this later in the programme because we'll be joined by Dr. Margaret Harris from the World Health Organization about the humanitarian situation and what they're trying to do to help people who are in that situation, as outlined by Belle. Coming up next, though, RTE back before the Public Accounts Committee as we speak. We're going to hear the latest after this break.